Tonight's episode of the Bill Simmons Podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network is brought to you, as always, by ZipRecruiter, our presenting sponsor. You know what's not smart? Counting out the Dallas Cowboys, apparently. Oh, my God. This is going to be the giddiest Cousin Sal's ever been on a podcast, I think. You know what else isn't smart? Job sites that overwhelm you with tons of the wrong resumes. There's a smart way. Fortunately, at ZipRecruiter.com/BS. They find people with the right skills for your job. They actively invite them to apply. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/BS. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Meanwhile, SeatGeek is still the best app for buying and selling tickets to sporting events, concerts, and more. We have some holiday stuff coming up. Thanksgiving, Christmas, a lot of games. For $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase on any game or sporting event, use promo code BS. Download the SeatGeek app or go right to SeatGeek.com. We are also brought to you by TheRinger.com, the world's best website, as well as the Ringer Podcast Network, which has podcasts for just about everything you can imagine, including two relatively new ones, The Big Picture, Sean Fennessy's movie podcast named after the late William Goldman. We launched that podcast last month. William Goldman, friend of mine, great writer, passed away last week. We are not going to talk about him today on the podcast, but I do have something special planned for later in the week for that. So stay tuned for that. The other podcast we have is Villains, hosted by Shea Serrano. We put up the first one last week. People like it. Everyone likes it, but Tate Frazier. Tate Frazier hates it. He wants us to get rid of it. So stay tuned on that. Their feud continues. Kevin O'Connor also hates it. Anyway, Villains and The Big Picture, our two newest podcasts. We have another one that we're going to announce this week. I'm excited about. It involves a sport that's played with a round orange ball called basketball. Details to come this week. Coming up, we're going to call the Cuz. We're going to talk about Survivor Series. We're going to talk about the NFL and even a little basketball bets and some parent corner and all the usual stuff. But first, our friends from Pearl Jam. All right, on the line, as always, on Sunday nights, the Cousin Sal. He is one of the hosts of Lock It In on FS1. He is the host of the Against All Odds podcast, the world's greatest gambling podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. More importantly, he's the number one fan of the red hot, resurgent, charging Dallas Cowboys. Holy shit, Cuz. Two straight weeks, you're happy on the Sunday BS report. BS podcast. What is this? This is the BS podcast.
It's the BS podcast. Now I'm ready to talk about Jimmy Butler. I feel like this is bad luck talking about the Cowboys to start.
Let's do it. No, we're doing it. It's going to be in the lead and the subject when I promote the podcast, everything. The surging Dallas Cowboys. Oh, yeah. It's happening.
It's kind of weird. It really is. And then everything's lined up for Thanksgiving. They win. They're in first place. I mean, I guess tied technically for first place. And up against Colt McCoy, who's beaten us before. 4 years ago, I believe it was on a Monday night.
Is that true?
This team, yeah, they beat us on a Monday night. It was a weird, weird game. That was a good team, too. That was a good Cowboys team. But, yeah, I don't know what's going on. I mean, Zeke is playing with purpose. This Van Der Esch seems to be the steal of the draft on defense. And Prescott's not killing us. And more importantly, Garrett's not killing us.
So you left out the most important thing that happened in the playoff pursuit was that Alex Smith broke his tibia and his fibula. Mm-hmm. That sounds like the worst possible broken leg injury you can have. Like we always have like the Gordon Hayward type of injuries, but when you basically break the two major bones in your leg and you're in your mid 30s, I'm not sure he comes back from that. I feel bad for him. I just think to have that injury at this stage of your career, like Theismann never played again.
Yeah, that sucks. And I meant that they said I hadn't seen it live, and they said he suffered the most gruesome injury a quarterback could. And I was like, well, that's not even the most gruesome injury the Redskins quarterback has ever endured. And then I saw it. I was like, oh boy,
yeah,
poor bastard.
So there
he leaves the Chiefs. The Chiefs are going to score, 700 points this year, and now this happens. Sad.
Colt McCoy steps in. Colt McCoy, career record as a starter, 7-18. He has started four games since 2011. All came in the 2014 season. He was 1-3 on the Redskins. He, for his career, 26 TDs, 23 interceptions. He's not good, Sal. And the Redskins aren't good either. So it's weird to say this, but at 6-4, I almost want to cross him off. I know we can't because I think 8-8, I think 8-8 could win the NFC East.
Mm-hmm.
But man, it's hard not to cross off a team that stuck with Colt McCoy for the last six games of the season, basically. Plus, they really drew the short straw.
And they have guys coming in. They have EJ Manuel. They have TJ Yates coming in. They have Mark Sanchez.
TJ.
All these guys will be working out.
Colin Kaepernick. Poor Colin. He's by the phone just waiting for it. He thought this might be it. I mean,
by the way, and I know it makes sense now, but what year is it going to be like, all right, enough with the Colin Kaepernick thing. We haven't seen him throw a ball in 11 years. I mean, is it like 2023? Will people still be saying, you know, why is Colin Kaepernick not in there?
Well,
that
would be the one way to flip the Thanksgiving storyline, right? Because Thursday is just going to be this Dallas coronation party. Jerry's going to be like a pig in shit. Colt McCoy is going to be terrible. But if they sign Kaepernick, the networks would have like a Thanksgiving heart attack before all of our Thanksgiving heart attacks. They would just show him. It would be a split screen of the game with Kaepernick on the sidelines with the headset on just all the time. It probably is worth just doing it just for that, but...
I wonder if Fox would even show the game. I mean, Fox News wouldn't show it.
So I hate to call this a break because, you know, what happened to Alex Smith, it's just kind of awful. But you have this combination. Dallas wins and the Redskins lose their quarterback. And now you get to play them basically 3.5 days after this happens. It's the absolute perfect time to play them on a Thursday. All the momentum's going your way. I could feel it in the owner's box of Jerry. The fist pumps were a little, there was an extra vigor coming from him, I felt like.
Yeah, I don't think he knows what's going on still. But and whatever injury Carson Wentz suffered today, that's going to help the Cowboys too. I mean, I know physically he probably didn't, but geez, these guys seem to be falling apart at the right time for the Cowboys.
Carson Wentz, I really wonder if they should have pushed him to come back when he came back. Have people talked about this? I don't know. He hasn't really looked that. He hasn't looked, in my opinion, right the whole season. He's had flashes.
I was watching with Hench, and he does things. I don't want to compare him to Tom Brady, but he throws. You know, he throws low, like even to the open receiver. He guns it in there low, and a lot of times they'll catch it. A lot of times they won't. But I guess that's the way to avoid interceptions. But yeah, he did not post good numbers today in a game where it was all garbage time against the Saints today. He was 19 for 33, a buck 56, and three interceptions in just a game where they were playing prevent defense the whole time, right?
The deep pass to Lattimore in the first half that Lattimore picked off was really bad. He just is the season from hell for them in a lot of ways. You know, even they lost Darby last week, and then this week, they lost two D-backs. One of them, it seemed serious, but he step on the end zone line or something?
Yeah.
But, you know, I love the Saints in that game, and I was just, I couldn't figure out who to tease or parlay with, and then begrudgingly settled on the Steelers and talked myself into that being a revenge game.
Lucky win. Man.
Yeah, lucky, but on the other hand, that was the Jaguars team I was betting against, the team that has a lead late and just needs a first down and just basically tucks their balls between their legs. I mean, it was phenomenal.
That game was 16-6 for, I felt like 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
That game.
They got to stop.
And they just couldn't put it away. The Steelers were begging for them to put it away. They turned the ball over in their own end. Jaguars couldn't do anything with it. And, you know, it wasn't like, you know, Fournette carried the load there. I think he had like 28 carries, but good job, Blake Bortles. What do you throw for a buck 04? Can't even do the bare minimum to get the job done.
It was really awful because on the last play when they scored to cut it to the field goal, and then the Jags got the ball back, and they basically, all they needed is a first down. They ran Fournette, and it was like 3rd and 5. the Steelers had 15 guys on the line. I know that sounds impossible. And any play action, anything, just gets 7 yards if you have a quarterback who is even like competent, like a really good high school quarterback, I feel like can beat somebody in single coverage where there's no hand checking and any of that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
And they just were terrified to just put the game in his hands. So
yeah,
I feel like that's a microcosm of what's wrong with your team. Because we saw the modified version of that last year when they played the Pats, when they had the lead in the AFC title game. And, you know, once again, they tucked it between their legs. They did the James Gum. And they just didn't try to win it. They were trying not to lose. Today was the all-time trying not to lose performance. They were just...
It was very different from the way they took it to the Patriots. And now all of a sudden that seems like a different team. Like, what was that?
Yeah.
Like 7, 8 weeks ago. But they really stayed on them and didn't take their foot off the gas, but shame on them. Steelers had 6 points through three quarters. They ended up with 26 rushing yards. You have to put that game away.
Right. Well, it was even worse than that. It was 16-0.
Yeah.
And really seemed like it was like, wow, they really just own the Steelers. This is crazy. The Steelers just can't do anything against this team. And then Brown broke a big touchdown.
Yeah, that's it.
And they missed a 2-point, which... It was funny. So you would go for the 2-point in that situation, right?
Fourth quarter, 16-6.
No, yeah, it was like, it was late third quarter, I think.
Because
I was thinking
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's 6 in the third quarter.
You basically
yeah,
need three scores, right? You need 2 touchdowns mm-hmm. and you need a field goal. And I guess if you don't get to, I guess it makes sense. But I was just thinking like 17 points, the Steelers probably win because I didn't feel like Jacksonville was going to score again because I thought they were going to do exactly what they did, which was
right, do
the James Gum. But that was a fascinating one because it ended Jacksonville's season. Concurrently, mm-hmm. Cincinnati's playing Baltimore. Baltimore is Lamar Jackson, who's just not going to throw the ball. I think he finished with a 150, 0 touchdowns, 1 pick. But ran the ball. He ran for over 100 yards.
Yep.
But the Bengals had chances to win that game. They really missed AJ Green. You know, I thought there were some 3rd and 8s, 3rd and 7s when they just couldn't get the play they needed. But they were still in it, hanging around, and then could not get it done at the end. And that was a pretty big swing because now the Steelers have, I think, what is it, a 1.5-game lead on them?
Yeah, they're both 5-5, the Ravens and Bengals. And yeah, what are the Steelers?
I thought the Steelers were like 6-3-1
or 7-2-1.
7-2-1, yeah.
7-2-1.
So that.
Yeah, so 2.5 games.
Yeah, so that's basically done, right, Sal?
Yeah, I think so.
Cross that division?
That's it.
Let's go through the divisions we can cross off.
The thing is, either of these teams could get a 6 seed in the AFC, which is going to be interesting. I don't think they will. I think the Colts are the 6 if they don't win that division. But
Pats have a 2-game lead.
Yeah.
It's a borderline cross off. I wish the Pats were playing better, but
they're playing the Jets this week. So right. Yeah, that'll be that. Yeah.
They still have to play Miami again, though. I feel like I can't cross that one off yet. Miami is -57 for the season and somehow still striking distance. Steelers have a 2.5-game lead over everybody.
That's good enough.
I think that's done. Houston 7-3. They pulled one out of their butthole in that Washington game. I have no idea. I don't know how much you saw that, but there was a 14-point swing in that game before Alex Smith broke his leg, throws a pick in the red zone where Jordan Reed, they missed some miscommunication, 101-yard pick six.
Took it all the way back, yep.
And they still almost won, and he broke his leg after that, and they still almost won.
Right.
Houston,
once again. Watson's not lighting the world on fire either. We had a touchdown, 2 interceptions, a little over 200.
So I felt like Houston was going to lose that. And then all of a sudden it seemed like, oh, they're going to pull this out of their ass. I was like, oh, they might lose that again. And then there was just this classic moment where it was 4th and 10 and Washington's like, fuck it. There's 8 seconds left. They go for the field goal with their kicker.
Yeah.
What was it? Like a 60 yarder? Something like
that? Yeah, it was up there.
61 yarder. Mm-hmm. It was 14 yards short.
Really bad.
I mean, he was
aiming for the guy in the first row, 40 feet to the right.
It was so bad. And it was like, it's dead on. Oh, it's going to land at the 11-yard line. They should have had somebody returning it. They could have gotten a touchdown out of it. So now Houston is two games up on the Colts and two games up on the Titans. You and I both love the Colts. We love how they're playing. Luck is out of his mind right now.
Yep.
Their offensive line, Luck doesn't get touched anymore.
Never.
I think they're a playoff team.
80%. Like, yeah. You can't not touch him. He's going to be the most. He's going to be have put Breeze numbers up there. I think he put had 80%. But yeah, we have them to win the division, don't we?
We have them at 20-1.
We have six teams in that division.
Yeah, we have all six teams in every possible combination.
I think we have the Bengals to win the AFC South.
But they go last six games. They're 5-5. They play the Dolphins. They play the Jaguars. At Houston, that's week 14. Home for your Cowboys, home for the Giants at Tennessee, who they just demolished.
Yeah, look at that. I think they'll be favored in three of those games, and then the other three will be, you know, 3-point spreads.
That something. Feels like 10-6 to me, Sal.
Wow, can you imagine?
I traded
Here's T.Y. Here's what I'm worried about. Here's what I'm worried about. Usually at this point in the year, we know who our team is, we get excited about betting against the team. Now, I believe it was the Jaguars last year, and that didn't work out for us too well. But I'm not excited about betting against any of these teams that are going to make it.
Yeah, I was thinking about the four seed, the team that in round one gets the first home game. Mm-hmm. And in the NFC, it's probably going to be your Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for you, you're going to be
Carolina.
You're going to be playing somebody good. You're going to be playing Carolina. It might be Minnesota.
Team will be better than the Cowboys or whoever wins the East.
It could be Minnesota. There's a Green Bay. You know, it's amazing. I thought we could have crossed off Green Bay right now. They're 4-5-1.
Easy schedule, right?
Yeah, they've looked like dog shit really the whole season. They don't look like the coach and the QB are on the same page. For the first time ever, there's been some Aaron Rodgers, are we sure he's the greatest? There's been like that kind of a little bit of Aaron Rodgers backlash. And yet they're 4-5-1 and they're probably going to finish the season winning five.
Well, I know who's not the greatest, that Mike McCarthy. And it's been beaten to death, but what a miserable turn. Like that Thursday game and not going for it on fourth and two with one time.